We get things underway this afternoon by talking baseball with one of our favorites on the show from FanGraphs, the author of the wonderful Cooperstown casebook, Jay Jaffe, joins us. Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. How's your new puppy working out?
It's working out well, thanks. She's gotten very big in the 4 months since we've owned her, and really taking her place on Team Entropy alongside our two-year-old daughter.
That's fantastic. Glad to hear that. Although I understand she does not handle the cold as well as you might have hoped.
That's correct. Yeah, my wife had to get her one of those doggy sweaters, which is something to be ashamed of if you're in the canine world. I don't know. I don't really follow that along, but she looks a little ridiculous in it.
All right, let's talk about Baseball Hall of Fame. It's an interesting ballot this year, and we'll talk about who should be in. Who do you think will get in, Jay?
Who do I think will get in? Well, I think we're definitely looking at a three-man class at the very least, and that'll be Mariano Rivera, Edgar Martinez, and Roy Halladay. I think the suspense lies within whether Mike Messina is going to get in. He's at about 82% right now. On the published ballots, got 63.5% last year. To me, it looked like it was going to be a two-year climb. The projections right now that I've seen put him very close on either side of it. So I think that's right now where the suspense is going to be.
How about Curt Schilling now? Obviously, some outside factors come into this, but you wrote about him recently on FanGraphs, and this is a guy who's put up great numbers, both regular season and one of the most dominant pitchers ever in postseason. What did I see you say, that he had 8 top 5 finishes in WAR in his career?
That sounds about right, offhand. I mean, the guy was an expert at missing bats and at run prevention, didn't always have the best teams behind him in terms of especially his years in Philadelphia, but was a monster in the postseason as well. Absolutely great control, top strikeout to walk ratio since they moved the mound to 60'6". I think in the grand scheme, I think his performance merits induction, but I do think that he has really sabotaged his own candidacy, maybe not to the point of completely destroying it, but he's made it hard on himself, even as we've seen the electorate recognize more pitchers with fewer than 300 wins. He's, I think, still at least a couple years away from election.
You mentioned Mariano Rivera and Bill Ballew, who is retired now, but wrote, I think it was for the Worcester Telegram, has been on our show, went public with the fact that he was not voting for Rivera because of his view about how relief pitchers are used. Does that have any bearing on reality?
Well, look, I think it was, I could have told you going in, and in fact, I probably did say this in my election preview, that, the big threat, or at least one big threat to the possibility of Rivera being unanimous selection, is because there are people who are philosophically opposed to relievers getting into the Hall of Fame on the grounds that their workloads are so much less than even top starters who've fallen short. So I think it's a defensible position in the abstract. I think when you look at Rivera and when you consider his the body of his postseason work, which we're talking at 0.71 ERA in 140 innings, about two seasons worth, you really have to, maybe detach a little bit from just that mindset. And I think you also have to realize that, he was the single best reliever of all time in a lot of measures, and they therefore merits induction. But I can understand why Ballew wrote what he did or came to the conclusion that he did. I'm not sure that the whole of his defense, which I read, really is that coherent. But just the same, I guess I'm glad he kept his vote in his pocket, because it will be interesting to see whether Rivera gets unanimous. I don't think he will, but until it happens, I think we have to cover it, and that's just the way it is.
Hey Jay, this is Alan Adams here. You were talking about Rivera there for a second, and I'm looking at your own virtual ballot. I know you don't actually cast one for another couple of years here, but I see that you've got Billy Wagner on there as well. And I know you've written at length about how you feel that Jaws isn't necessarily doesn't work as well for relievers as maybe you'd want to. And you've really invested a lot of time in sort of digging into some other advanced analytics to try to find ways to, basically to compare apples to oranges.
Yeah, I've looked at the win probability stats, and Rivera is number one all time, by head and shoulders, and Wagner is a guy who does very well when you look at the win probability stuff, which has basically means that his managers were using him correctly, you know, in terms of more often than not these were close games. Win probability, you know, is basically measures the degree of difficulty of a player's appearance, so that you're credited more highly when you're coming into a one-run game than a three-run game, if we're talking save situations, or coming in with runners on base than the base is empty. So, you know, we do get, an alternate measure that's not just based on, the typical inputs, in terms of run prevention and strikeout rate and with the defensive adjustments and things like that thrown in. It is an alternative way of looking at it. I think Wagner, by my aggregate, which uses wins above replacement and the leverage stats, raises the sixth best reliever of all time. And, you know, in my eyes, I think that's good enough. I think especially we're still, you know, kind of emerging. The Hall of Fame standards for relievers are emerging. I think he's definitely better than Lee Smith, who just got in. I think he's better than some of the other relievers who are already in there. So I would include him on my ballot.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs here on Downtown. What about some of these infield guys that might be seen as being on the bubble? Scott Rowland, and then a guy who gets a lot of discussion going, Omar Vizquel.
They're obviously both of them renowned for their glove work. Vizquel won 11 gold gloves, and I think Rowland, the number is 8. The defensive metrics support Rowland's claimed excellency, I think, a little bit better. He's fourth all time and third or fourth all time in fielding runs at shortstop, whereas Vizquel is something like in the somewhere between 15 and 20. Rowland obviously had the bat to support it as well. Very, very good hitter, and I have him as the 10th best third baseman of all time in my Jaws system. Vizquel, on the other hand, is down in the 30s or even 40s among shortstops in his position, and I don't see him as being worthy of a vote. I see Rowland as being worthy of a vote, but the electorate in aggregate looks at it the other way. Last year, Vizquel got about 37%, which is a pretty solid number for a first-year candidate. Rowland was somewhere closer to about 10%. Obviously, that does not bode well. Both of those guys have gained some support this time, but I don't see my guy Rowland getting in anytime soon. It's going to take a whole lot of rounds of convincing voters to change their minds on him. And I think, on the other hand, Vizquel is probably slowly going to be on a path towards election.
And how about guys like Larry Walker and Fred McGriff?
Larry Walker right now is engaged in a pretty fascinating trajectory. This is something I'm going to write about maybe later this week or early next week. Until last year, Walker had never broken out of the low 20s in percentage. Last year, he surged to 34% or so. This year, he's gotten about 65% of the published ballots so far, which is pretty unsustainable. But it probably means he's going to get somewhere above 50%. We've never seen anybody get from low 50s to 75% in 1 year. But we also, you know, we're seeing something now with this change from 15 years of eligibility to 10, where we've seen some urgency among the electorate when it comes to some of these candidates who've kind of gotten screwed over, guys like Tim Raines and Edgar Martinez. And now Walker, and I think we might be in the midst of something of a change here. And I'm proud to say that those are three guys that I have written extensively about. They're all in the Cooperstown casebook. And if people are reading my work and changing their mind with the help of those articles, then that's great. But Walker's in his final year next year. I still think that he probably falls short with the writers, but this surge, I think, bodes well long-term in terms of possibly being elected by the Today's Game Committee.
For anybody who didn't see it, I thought there's some fascinating names came up in your posts on Fangraphs about the one-and-done club and some really talented guys who maybe are not Hall of Fame worthy but had solid careers at Vernon Wells, Michael Young, Rick Ankiel, some very interesting guys there.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's funny. It would be very easy to not write about these guys because they don't really have any real claim on a spot on the ballot. I'm not here to make an argument that somebody should reconsider. But what I've found is that people really enjoy just being reminded about these guys, and you know that they had this, you know, this odd claim to fame or that. And I really enjoy the research. Today I was writing about Darren Oliver. You know, who pitched in the major leagues for 20 years and really, you know, was as a starter, got knocked around for an ERA well above 5, but as a reliever, really enjoyed this great second act. Actually retired after being released by 3 teams and then came back and from age 35 to age 41 went to the playoffs every year as a lefty reliever. And it's just fun to remember stuff like that, and people seem to enjoy that series, and it rewards the effort that I put into it. So I'm proud that it means something to people.
Jay, we'd be remiss if we didn't also get a little beer recommendation from you, as we always like to do. What have you enjoyed lately?
Oh, boy, geez. Let me think about that one for a second. I would, you know, I've been enjoying a lot of stuff from our local Threes Brewing Company here in downtown Brooklyn the last several months. But I know that you guys like the dark beers, I've had a few really good ones lately. One of them that I broke out over the holidays was the Game of Thrones Take the Black Stout, which actually came out several years ago, and I was gifted a bottle that was a few years old, and I had no idea it was that old. So I broke that out, and it was just absolutely fantastic. This is from Omegang Brewing in Cooperstown. Another one that I had over the holidays that I liked a lot, kind of an old friend, is the Brooklyn Black Ops Barrel Aged. Imperial Stout. Good stuff.
Sounds great. Jay Jaffe, author of the Cooperstown Casebook. I read his tremendous work on Fangraphs. Jay, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for visiting with us.
All right, sure thing, Rich. Take care.